Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. And this hour, we're going to be taking a look at a new book. It's titled Milwaukee Walks, An Insider's Guide to 35 Historic Neighborhood Walks and Hidden Hikes. I've had a chance to read it, and it is a lot of fun to read and interesting as well. So we'll be talking about that, but we also want to mention our year-end member drive here at WPR. You count on WPR for in-depth discussions, and it's your support that keeps these conversations going strong. Your gift right now makes a big difference both this year and as we head into 2025. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And Jill, I bet we have yet another goal.
We do, Larry, and it's 30 people, just like last hour.
Just like last time.
You know, it's really important to have these goals because it's a way to set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the funding that's needed to share the news and the conversations that you and thousands of others count on every day. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You might think that WPR operates largely with tax dollars. We get funding from federal government and from the state as well. But really, voluntary listener contributions make up the largest source of our funding.
And that is so important. But that also means that your support is vital in keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. We could not do this without your generous support. So now that you know how important you are, make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
As we wrap up 2024, think about the value that WPR brings to your life. This year-end gift helps us continue to serve you and the community. Give today. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
I do feel that it's important to give what you can to public radio.
It's really important to support this kind of programming. It's not available elsewhere.
This is a station that sometimes challenges my assumptions.
I have found new friends that keep me really informed.
It's a station that doesn't always agree with me, which is what people seem to like to listen.
And I just feel like it's stealing to listen and not contribute.
I choose to become a member. You should choose to become a member too.
You should indeed. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. This is the year-end member drive. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau. Listener support's our biggest source of funding, and that's why your gift, $10 a month, $100 a month, $200 a month, whatever amount you choose, really has an important impact.
And giving to WPR is easy. We want to make it easy for you. We don't want you to have to be stuck on the website going around in circles. I've been there, Larry. I don't know about you. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount. Maybe $10 a month works for you.
And that comes back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Please give as generously as you can.
And ask for your new WPR socks this drive. Larry, I think this might be one of your most favorite bonuses, right?
I like this. I'm even, you know, we've talked about the WPR Larry Mueller Sock Club.
And yes, you have.
I'm thinking of getting one going because I've got two pair.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So does that make you president then?
I'm president because I have two pair. But I'm calling a meeting in next spring before it gets warm.
That's true.
Because you need
important.
To wear those socks.
Yes, we do. So ask for those new socks. They're navy blue and the merino wool, which everybody loves. So ask for yours when you give $15 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I should have told people to send me an email and let me know if they want to come to
Larry,
meeting.
Don't do that. You know how many people are going to be emailing you? You can't get through your emails now.
Well, I tell you what, maybe I get limited to sustaining members.
I think that's only fair.
That's
another incentive.
To do that. But being a sustaining member is really cool because it sets you up for ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or from your credit card. And you could get started at that at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And I'll bet you Linda in Middleton would like to be in that Sock Hop Club. She says, I listen to Larry every day. So Linda's out there listening, Larry.
Linda, get those socks. Join with your gift right now, and it'll really make a difference, all kidding aside. WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. And thank you so much. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we are talking now about a new book out by Carrie Taylor Carlson. It's titled, it's the 2024 edition, Milwaukee Walks, An Insider's Guide to 35 Historic Neighborhood Walks and Hidden Hikes. And I've really had a lot of fun. I know Jill has too, because Jill spent a lot of time living in Milwaukee.
I did.
And this is Carrie's sixth book about the city, which is really cool as well. And as I talk with her, or as we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. What are some of the best walking trails in your community? Are you planning a visit to Milwaukee? Let us know what you want to see while you're there. Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. And Carrie Taylor Carlson, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So I mentioned that this is your sixth book. What inspired you to write another book about walking in Milwaukee?
Well, interesting question. I wrote my first walking book in 1991, and what prompted me to write the first one was many years ago, I lived in San Francisco, and my ex-husband and I used to go out every Sunday afternoon, and there was a book called San Francisco at Your Feet by Margo Doss Patterson, and it was our Sunday afternoon activity, and I thought, back in the early 90s, that I'd like to write some sort of a similar book, and so I did, and I called it Milwaukee Walks, and there were 20 walks. Well, you know, what, 30-some years later?
and six books later.
Oh, yeah, and six books later. I decided that I wanted to update some of those walks because initially I was more looking at the neighborhoods and the shops and some of the things that you'd see on the streets. Well, in 30 years, a lot changed. A lot of restaurants opened, restaurants closed, shops opened, shops closed. So I thought, well, this time I will look more at the history of these walks, and I wanted to do more walks, which is why I have 35 and not 20.
Yeah.
So I started out doing them one at a time, and at the time I was dealing with a gimpy knee, so I couldn't even do the whole walk in one jump. So I did them in little pieces, but I eventually got them all done. And I started doing the research and writing them, and Urban Milwaukee would publish them as I wrote them. And so after a while, I thought, well, maybe I have a book here. And then people said to me, well, yeah, but if you've already had them published on Urban Milwaukee, then people can just, you know, take their phone and walk around and look at the walks. Well, now, I'm not exactly a Luddite, but I don't...
I like the book. I'd rather have the book to look at.
Yeah, I don't travel with my phone. So I decided that eventually I would turn them into a book. And the other thing that happened was COVID. And this was in, you know, we know when COVID happened. And so I was sitting around thinking, yeah, I need something to do. So it was sort of a combination of several things. It was me needing something to do and wanting to do the research and thinking maybe another book might be something that people would like. So
and you,
there it is.
Yeah, and it's lovely. You give the distance, you give a history, and pretty specific about the directions on where to go within, you know, within each one. Turn right here, turn left there, and so forth.
Yeah. The first book, actually, I had maps. Mm-hmm. And I had very specific instructions on how to get to the start of the walk. Mm-hmm. And this time around, it's like, well, that seemed pretty superfluous because everybody's just using their GPS. So I took all that out, but I had this space at the top of the page that I wanted to fill, and I have a good friend who's an artist. And so I commissioned her to do the artwork for the book. And
she did a wonderful job.
Thank you. Yeah, her name is Lynn Bergschultz, and she worked with the photographs that I gave her. So I thought, you know, part of the fun of the walks is to look at these photos and then see if you can figure out where the photo was taken or the art was, you know, is representative of where it is on the walk.
Yeah, I tell you, it's pretty cool. I love those illustrations for sure. Well, let's... walking is, you know, I walk every day. You know, I'm out there about 20 to 6 every morning walking. I get 2 or 3 miles in before work. That's how I start my day. But right now it's dark, so I can't see very much when I started. But I walking is a kind of, I have a friend who he starts later in the day, but he will get out and he'll sometimes drive to an area of the city that he doesn't know anything about, and he just gets out and he walks around through the neighborhood.
Oh, that's great.
And he loves it. It's a great way to take in a city, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And one of the things that I found when I was working on this book was I really did discover a lot of areas of the city that I didn't know about. And walks that were just there waiting for me. I mean, for example, I'm ashamed to say this, but I didn't know about the Greenway along the Milwaukee River.
Oh, boy.
And it's fabulous.
And you've got several sections, and we'll get to that. Well, because I really do want to zero in a bit on those Greenway walks because they're fantastic. Here it is. It's cold outside. There's a little snow, maybe, in Milwaukee. I'm not sure. Walks that you might recommend in the winter that you have in the book?
Oh, boy. Well, I think you'd probably want to stay in the city.
Proper?
Where? Yeah, I mean, in the city, in the city proper, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, most people shovel their sidewalks. But I can't really recommend any particular walks for the winter time. I mean, you want to be safe. And yeah. you want to look out for the ice. So I guess I would recommend taking a walking stick. Nothing else, just to catch you as you're going down.
Is there any part of Milwaukee? I know there are parts of Milwaukee that have, for example, great Christmas lights.
Boy, there's a street, you know, I'm sorry, I can't tell you.
The exact one?
The exact one, but there is a street in Milwaukee, and I think it's somewhere on the south side that's famous for their Christmas tree walk.
Well, I want to talk about within
Actually, Larry, let me butt in here real quick. No. You're talking about Candy Cane Lane?
Yes.
Yeah, that's on the south side.
Oh, thank you.
It is crazy. I believe Wisconsin Today, our sister show, talked about it. If it wasn't today, it'll be soon. So, yeah, it's really fun.
Candy Cane Lane.
Candy Cane Lane. It's been around for a very, very long time.
Well,
and I can tell you another neighborhood where I'm pretty sure there's some pretty nice decorations, and that would be, well, it's not actually Milwaukee. I think it's West Dallas?
Yeah.
Wauwatosa? It's the Ravenswood neighborhood. And people there, most of them decorate for Christmas, and I just saw the beginning of it, but I think it would be a good place for people to be a drive-through.
Well, I tell you what, a good place... for you to be right now is near your computer or by your phone, because here we are in the midst of our Wisconsin Public Radio member drive. And it's the last day of the drive. We're not doing this tomorrow. You're not going to be hearing this anymore.
Till next year, Larry.
Well, not anymore this year. That's for sure.
I'm not supposed to say that. I'm going to get in trouble.
Well, I tell you what. It's the last day of our drive for this 2024, and it's your chance to get us going into 2025. And maybe you've already given this year. Or, you know, you might say, I'm a sustainer. I'm making my ongoing monthly gifts today. Well, if you are, good for you. If you're not, that would be a good thing for you to do, to become a sustainer. It just takes a few couple of minutes to do it, or if you just want to make your contribution, go ahead and do that too at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And just a reminder, this hour we are looking for 30 people to join in with a gift. Funding for WPR News stays on track. So that's if we get your funding. Make your contribution now. Any amount that works for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, last hour we talked with Ann Sayers about things that are going on all over Wisconsin, events. Now Carrie's telling us about walks that we can take in Milwaukee, and she gives us a little history. It's a nice, I call it almost like a pocket-sized book that you could carry with you on these walks. Has some great information. I think spending an hour with Carrie is going to be fun, and I think it's a unique thing that we have on public radio. We're listener-supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, you make this program and many other programs possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
And if you're looking for an easy way to make a gift to WPR, think about becoming a sustaining member, because that will make automatic monthly contributions from your bank account or from your credit card.
A lot of people give $15 a month on this plan. Some give $100 a month on this plan and more. The amount, though, is up to you. As a sustainer, you're an ongoing member of WPR. You're providing reliable funding for our stations. So start today at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It's that time of year to get cozy, or as the Danes say, higgy, hi-gigi.
It's pronounced hygge.
How do you practice hygge?
Turning on a movie, wearable blanket, candles.
Indoors or outdoors, genuine fire. Even better if you have to go chop the wood beforehand, light that match, and then feel the warmth.
Right now I have some split pea soup going at home, a little smoked cheese on top of that. I get my big down comforter and I wrap it around me, put a hat on.
Add one more item to your list. A pair of toasty WPR Merino Wool crew socks with a Wisconsin-inspired design. Ask for yours now when you donate $15 a month or more. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mealer with Jill Nadeau. Your support during this last day of our year-end member drive makes all of our programs possible. Your gift could be $10, $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Our year-end member drive ends at 6 o'clock today. That still leaves you time, but not too much, to cast your vote in favor of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we love it when you do it during the Larry Mealer Show because, well, we just...
We
like it.
We like it that way.
Take just a couple of minutes to make your gift right now.
And thanks if you've already contributed. Thanks for sustaining members. If you haven't given yet, take this opportunity right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
So think about, what do you spend $10 on? Maybe it's goodies at the cafe, or books, games, apps on your phone. These are all things that make your day better. And just like Wisconsin Public Radio, and with a gift of $10 more a month here, you can make a difference for the public service that you rely on.
I spent a little over 10 bucks at the Batch Bakehouse in Madison not too long ago.
Did you, Larry?
I did. And
why
I
does that not surprise
up.
Me?
When you support WPR, you join a community of tens of thousands of people, Larry and Jill included, who give what they can for the programs they value. So join in now. Give $10 a month or whatever amount's right for you. Every gift is powerful. Doesn't matter. At WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. 2552.
And you can get Hugie with your toasty and stylish WPR socks this year end. They are really nice socks, all kidding aside. You know, they're moisture wicking and they're breathable merino wool, which I love. And they're made in the United States. So ask for your pair when you give $15 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And look for more information on the Sock Club, Larry Mueller Sock Club. That'll be coming out sometime in the spring before it warms up too much.
Okay, you heard it here first, folks.
So, I tell you what, Diane in Verona says, I've been listening to WPR for many years. I'm glad to finally be a sustainer. The shows are comforting and interesting. What about you? WPR.org is the place to go to become a sustainer or just to make a contribution. Or you can phone 888-202-2552. And thank you so much. Thanks for joining us today on The Larry Mueller Show. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Carrie Taylor Carlson, who has written another book. It's her sixth book. This one's titled Milwaukee Walks, An Insider's Guide to 35 Historic Neighborhood Walks and Hidden Hikes. So it's great to have her with us. Questions for her? Maybe you've got a walk you want to share. I hope you'll join in. Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234. Or you could email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. One of the walks I wanted to talk about is the Donner Avenue and Newberry Boulevard trek. What's the draw on this route, Carrie?
Well, first of all, I will say, since you ask about a winter walk, mm-hmm. probably Downer Avenue would be a safe bet because there's so many shops on the avenue that the sidewalks are going to be shoveled.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, you're not going to slip and fall. I think the draw, I mean, it's two things, really. There really are some interesting shops on Downer Avenue, starting with at the corner of Downer and I can't remember the intersection, but Boswell Bookstore. Because everybody loves Boswell. And in today's world, when the independent bookstores are quickly disappearing, we all need to remember Boswell because it's a wonderful resource in Milwaukee and probably, without a doubt, our nicest bookstore. So also on Downer Avenue, there's Bread Smith, where you can buy your bread. There's a hardware store. And on the corner, Pizza Man is back. Pizza Man left. Nobody understood quite why. They built this wonderful or rehabbed this wonderful building on Donner Avenue, and then they decided to close it, and they moved over to Humboldt by the river, where the parking was a disaster, and they lasted about a year, and then they moved back to Downer Avenue. So, you know, it's like, make up your mind, guys. And then if you, you continue going north another block and make a left turn, you'll come to Newberry. And Newberry is a strip that runs from Downer Avenue to Oakland, and it's filled with just beautiful old homes that date back to the early 1900s. And Newberry was originally, I don't know if it was exactly designed by, but it was envisioned as Frederick Law Olmsted, who designed Lake Park, as the corridor between Lake Park and Riverside Park, which is at Oakland, and was also designed by Frederick Law Olmsted.
And there's quite a diversity of homes there. I bet they're all beautiful.
Everyone is beautiful. Everyone is, you know, an architect design. There's nothing cookie cutter about the homes on Downer or on Newberry. And you notice if you walk from Downer to Oakland that the most elegant homes tend to be at the eastern end of Newberry. And I think that I've read that that's related to the proximity to Lake Park. So the closer you are to Lake Park, the bigger the house. And then as you go west on Newberry, the houses become...
Start to get smaller.
Slightly more modest, but not that much.
But not that much.
No, no.
Oh, well, you know, you love food or history or both. You might want to think about taking a stroll on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. I love the story about the naming of Martin Luther King Jr. Drive as opposed to, what was the other?
Third Street. It was Third Street.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Third Street south of, I think it was Kilbourne, and it was Third Street north of Capitol, maybe? And then in the middle was what they called Martin Luther King Jr. Drive, except that one little section on, and the part that's in my book was Old World Third Street. And there was quite a bit of discussion about whether they wanted to continue it being Old World Third Street or would they make it all MLK Jr. Drive. And MLK Jr. Drive won out now. And although most of us who live in Milwaukee still think of it as Old World Third Street.
You know? But they named it.
I mean, that's where Usinger's is, and that's where Mader's is, and, you know, some of the old-timers.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit. Mader's goes way back as a restaurant. I mean, there's lots of opportunities there to dine and so forth.
Oh, but Mader's, absolutely.
Goes back a long, long way.
Oh, it does. And it didn't start out as a German restaurant. It started out as a bar with food, a bar with food. But then Prohibition happened, and the wife of Mader decided that if they were going to bring people in, because there were so many German immigrants that were living in Milwaukee at the time, that maybe they should think about serving some sauerbraten and some of the more traditional German cuisine. So they started serving that during Prohibition. And today, now it's probably one of a couple of surviving German restaurants in Milwaukee proper.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a long time, but I had a fabulous meal there. I can remember having a fabulous meal at Mader's.
Yeah, the food is always good. I mean, it's very old school. It's the place where, you know, people take their out-of-town guests.
Yeah, I would think. But there are some other places, too, along the street there to dine, if I'm not mistaken.
There are some, there's some bars, and I can't really speak to the bars. I haven't, because they're close to the Pfizer Forum now, so the number of bars is increasing.
Exploded.
For obvious reasons. And what's really sad is the Spice House used to be in that section. And the Spice House is gone now. I mean, they're mostly online, and, well, it's a long story, but it's two branches of the same family.
Oh, which is too bad because I did love the Spice House.
I like the original.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you recommend a walk in the Halyard Park neighborhood. Roughly, where is this in Milwaukee?
It's a little bit north. It's off of North Avenue. It's off of Walnut.
Okay.
And it's an area that was settled originally, you know, as so many areas were, by the Poles and the Germans. And then ultimately the African Americans came in, and it became primarily an African American neighborhood. And then when the freeway was built, a lot of those homes were demolished in order to make room for the freeway. And so there was a realty company that came in and decided that they were going to rehab the neighborhood. So they demolished a lot of the houses that were falling apart anyhow in this particular neighborhood. And they built the kind of homes that you would expect to see in Fox Point or not necessarily Whitefish Bay, but in the burbs. You know, two stories with a fireplace and attached garage. And it looks like this little section of Halyard Park really looks like it could be in the suburbs. And it is right in the middle of the city. And it's primarily a black neighborhood because they were looking to find an area where black people could afford nice homes. And a lot of them were subsidized by a local bank that was also the first Black-owned bank in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and some of that history shows up in your book as we've been getting at here a little bit. It turns out Lakeshore State Park is Wisconsin's only
urban
state park.
Right, right. And it's one of my absolute favorite places to walk. I've been walking around that park for probably 30 years because in the beginning we called it Summerfest Park. And it was just kind of a dirt trail that went around the park. And then in the 60s, John Norquist, when he was mayor, he got involved with some other organizations. And they found some money to fund it. And now it's Lakeshore State Park. And it has a paved path that goes all the way around the park, around the perimeter. And then they hired somebody who was a naturalist to do the plantings. And now if you go in the summertime, it's absolutely magnificent because it's all prairie. There's open spaces, too, but it's also prairie.
And we're talking about a pretty – how many acres is it? 20?
It's not that many acres.
28 acres or something like that?
20 would – yeah, it can't be any more than 20. It's small. And there's lots of benches around the way. So if you're me and you like to just sit on a bench and contemplate your navel and look at the lake, they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little beach. There's no swimming in the beach, but, kids can stick their feet in the water. And there's fishing.
It reminds me, quite a bit of fishing, actually,
yeah.
Along that, that in that park. Your reference, I should say, to John Norquist reminded me, as I was reading through, And his name pops up more than once. John Norquist as mayor.
Yeah.
Maybe comment on him.
Well, he did so much for the city of Milwaukee. Besides Lakeshore State Park, he was one of the movers and shakers for the Riverwalk, which is a paved walk that goes along a contiguous paved walk that goes along the west side of the Milwaukee River. All the way from Humboldt to downtown where it bumps into the freeway. But he was involved in a lot of the things in Milwaukee that I think have made our city a better place to live.
Yeah, it was impressing just kind of his name popping up here and there throughout the book as being a lead role in a lot of these things.
Right, right. And I think he also has something to do with the Greenway.
Yes. Yeah, that
another,
was the other
another
big...
place where his name will pop up.
Yeah. Carrie Taylor Carlson, our guest today. Her book is Milwaukee Walks. It's fun talking with her as we, here we are in the last minutes for our program, the last 18, 19 minutes of the show. Jill Nadobak with me here for our year-end member drive, your financial support. It's the foundation of all the great reporting and discussions you enjoy here every day. So I hope you'll make your tax deductible year-end gift right now for 2024 at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for 30 people to join in this hour. And if they do, we'll be on track to support the quality, the variety of programs that you enjoy every day on WPR News. You know, Wisconsin Public Radio is listener powered, and that means that your donation right now makes a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Have such great guests on Wisconsin Public Radio because they know you will ask great questions. They won't be interrupted by commercials either. Your support makes this possible. You are the most reliable source of funding for our program. So please give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And a lot of us have things that we spend money on daily, like a cup of coffee or a favorite snack.
You might consider the Larry Mueller Show or WPR Talk or WPR News. I forgot our title.
WPR Larry, is it News. Friday yet? Because I think you need
well,
a break.
It feels You know, I got an RSV shot yesterday and a pneumonia shot at the same
you're
time.
You're blaming that, arm, huh?
I'm blaming that. Well, I'm thinking a dollar a day. I'm thinking
there
a dollar a day would be a good donation for anyone listening. It's probably less than your other daily treats. Sign up now with that gift of $30 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. WPR is a great value. Of course, it's free if you can't afford it. But I find that donating makes me feel better because I'm supporting something for people who maybe can't donate right now. And if you are a donor, I really think it's important to become a sustainer. You never have to worry about, oh, God, should I write the check this year or not? It's there, it's ongoing, they've got it in the pocket, and then you've got all that good stuff in your ears.
Consider becoming a sustainer with a regular monthly gift. Visit WPR.org to get started now.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller with Jill Deneau, asking for your support for the quality programs you value on WPR with your gift right now. It's our year-end member drive, and the contribution could be $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it makes a big difference.
And maybe you've been listening to WPR without giving because you didn't know that we were listener-supported. Well, we are, and it's the largest source of funding for WPR programs. It comes from listeners.
Yeah, or maybe you wanted to listen for a while to see if you liked what you heard. You're still listening. So now's the perfect time to support the programs you rely on. Your gift, $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you can ask for your new WPR socks this drive. Navy blue, Wisconsin, and WPR themed, and they're very cozy and very practical. Ask for yours when you give $15 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And a great time to become a sustaining member. Easy to set up those monthly payments to your bank account or credit card. Get started at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Shannon Milwaukee says, WPR has kept me informed on a wide variety of topics like home improvement, environmental concerns, chocolate, and birding activities. The offerings are endless, and I'm grateful for all that WPR brings to my life. I think she listens to our show.
I was going to say, every one of the home improvement, environmental concerns, chocolate, birding activities, trips. I tell you what, if you enjoy those kinds of programs, I hope you'll give right now. It's powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Great to have you along today as we talk with Carrie Taylor Carlson about her new book. It's titled Milwaukee Walks, An Insider's Guide to 35 Historic Neighborhood Walks and Hidden Hikes. Had a little hiccup with our phones, but I think we have them all straightened out now. So let's take a call from Jim in Lake Geneva. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Larry, I love your show. I listen all the time. I got one comment. You mentioned that your Milwaukee Park was the first urban park in the state. That's not true. The first state park in the state of Wisconsin within the city limits is Bigfoot Beach State Park in the city of Lake Geneva. I know because I was a ranger there for 15 years. It's a jurisdictional thing. It was weird because the DNR holds total governmental jurisdiction over the park, yet it is totally within the city limits of Lake Geneva. Wow. And working there, it was always strange. Like one time we wanted to do a project and build something. I was doing it. I said, we better get the city to get the permits. And that boss then said, we don't need no stinking permits. We're... The DNR cannot be told what to build on DNR property. And so go ahead and build it. We don't need to. What about Madison? Well, they don't need to know about this shower building we're putting up or any other buildings. They don't care about us. They've been trying to give us away for years. Well, now they want to keep it. But that is actually the first urban park. And there might have been a second one, I believe, in Hales Corners when they opened the Nature Center in the 1980s. That may have also been an urban park, I believe. But the state park in Lake Geneva is the number one for urban area. And I do love her books. I've read them. And earlier you were talking about what people used to do in Milwaukee. And in the early 60s, I grew up in a place there. And the biggest treat for us was to go to the Mayfair Mall on Christmas yeah. week to look at all the decorations. Mayfair was the only place to be back in the day.
Jim, thank you so much for calling Bigfoot.
Bigfoot?
State Park.
I would never have guessed that was inside the city of Lake Geneva. Thank you. I stand corrected.
Jim, thanks so much. And the Mayfair Mall.
Yeah, I've got to mention that they used to have an ice skating rink right inside the Mayfair Mall. I came down from the UP back in the late 70s, and I could not believe that there was a skating rink inside of a mall. I was amazed. People still miss it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. The mall is still there.
Mall is still there. It doesn't have a skating rink.
Doesn't have a skating rink.
Nope.
Yeah. You can still get lost in there.
Yes, you can.
You can.
It's big.
I've gotten turned around a couple of times in there when I was doing my shopping. You've got several walks along, and we did mention the Milwaukee River Greenway. We got several walks. They're always like 2 or 3 miles, yeah. which, you know, and there's, I think you had 5 of them. So, I mean, you can walk a long way, but tell us about some of those walks.
Yeah, so I started at the river on the west side of the river. I started at the River Revitalization Center, which is a place, an active group, and they're rebuilding or putting together a prairie. And I started going north, and I decided that I would break it up into segments rather than trying to do it all at once.
Yeah.
So the first section, for example, goes up to Gordon Park, and then you turn around and come back. So it's about a mile and a half, maybe. I don't remember exactly how much it was. So when I was doing the history about that whole section, I was reading about the North Avenue Dam, which was taken down in 1997. And when it was built in 1835, it created an impoundment north of the dam. And as a result, there was lots and lots of activity along the river thanks to the impoundment. And one of the things, and this is hard to believe in today's day and age, but they used to take ice from the river on that section. And in order for them to take the ice, it had to be a minimum of 18 inches thick. Now, I can't remember the last time I saw the river really frozen solid like that, partly because they took down the North Avenue Dam and the river's running free, and that's not as likely to, you know, to freeze. But they would take the ice back in the day when people didn't have refrigerators. They had ice boxes.
Yeah.
And they would put spiked shoes on the horses, and then the horses would pull some kind of an outrigger on the river that cut the ice. And then men would come by with poles, and they would walk on the river, and they would separate the cube, the big 18-inch blocks, and then they would store them in buildings or alongside the river that were filled with sawdust. And the ice would last for approximately a year. And they used it. The breweries used the ice. They would store the beer, and also people used the ice for their home ice boxes.
Yeah, it's some amazing story, and that whole story of the dam. I think John Norquist comes into play.
Oh, he came
there.
Into that one too. Yeah.
He came into play there because it was kind of polluted, and there were a lot of problems with the river there. And
yeah.
They got the yeah. dam eliminated.
Yeah, right. Well, what was happening, and this goes back to the early mid 1900s. There was a lot of recreation on the river, which is hard to believe now. But there were steamboats going up and down the river. There were boathouses. At Gordon Park, there was a boathouse and a beach.
Yeah.
And I write in the book that women had to pay, I think, 25 cents for a to rent a bathing suit, and men only had to pay 10. I guess they figure that, you know, they only needed half as much. But there was lots and lots of recreation. And like I said, there were boats running up and down the river, and people would get all dressed up, and they'd had fancy parties at the beer gardens. But what happened, well, two things happened. One was Prohibition, which kind of put a kibosh on some of the drinking. And the other thing that happened was, like Larry mentioned, pollution.
Yeah.
And as the river became increasingly polluted, that some, you know, that took care of recreation on that impoundment. And then, you know, thank you, John Norquist and a few others, they took out the dam. And now the river's running free. I mean, it's totally different from the way it was back in the mid-1900s.
Well, and there's plenty of information, just like we've been talking about, in the book Milwaukee Walks, an insider's guide to 35 historic neighborhood walks and hidden hikes. The author, Carrie Taylor Carlson. Carrie, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
It's fun to think about Milwaukee and talk about it. It's a fascinating city with lots to recommend it, for sure. And I think there's lots to recommend to WPR as well. Here we are in the last day of our year-end member drive. In fact, the last 6 minutes or so for you to contribute during our program. Your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important as we end this year and look forward to 2025, Jill.
That's right. I am looking forward to 2025 because, you know what? It's better to look forward than back. That's the way I look at it, Larry. But we've got a goal of 30 gifts, and I think we're probably getting pretty close to that, if not over. And we have these hourly goals because they help us stay on track financially so that you can keep the news coverage and conversations going strong on Wisconsin Public Radio. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Lots of fun on today's program, talking about a variety of things you can see and do in Milwaukee and really around the state as well in our first segment. Unique programming, I think, and here we are, public radio listener supported. And so when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and so many other hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
And this year-end member drive is a great time to make your last gift of the year to WPR. Remember, tax deductible. It takes just a few minutes of your time at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And when you give, you'll have that good feeling of supporting the station that you've enjoyed all year long and that you're looking forward to in 2025.
Well, I think it's an investment in your own brain. I mean, I'm a retired person now, and as you get older, you do realize you need to keep your brain flexible. And even when I was younger, it's good to keep your brain flexible. And investing in public radio, in Wisconsin Public Radio, really helps me to keep my brain up to date and gives me different ideas and different viewpoints. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for a better life.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation during this year-end member drive. Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau. Join in with your gift right now because WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support.
And you know what? You can turn on the radio every day without an upfront charge and enjoy hours of the trustworthy news, in-depth conversation, and just the things that you are looking for. WPR is available to everyone because listeners like you help to cover the costs.
So I hope you'll join in today. Become a member with your first ever gift, maybe $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And look at it this way. The little things that we spend money on, well, they can add up. So maybe you buy a morning coffee or you pick up a bag of chips or it used to be you pick up a newspaper. Some people still do. You might spend $20 a month on small expenses like that. But they're an important part of your day.
Just like listening to WPR. So if you're thinking about it that way, I hope you'll think to yourself, this would be a good time to contribute, especially during the end of this show, before 1 o'clock hits us.
That's right.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Jill and I have a lot of fun and really enjoy hosting and putting on this program every day. And Jeff Robbins and Lee Rayburn and Clara Neipert, one of our producers, Joel Patnoit, our other producer. We love bringing you the show. We hope you enjoy it, too. If you do, give a call. Make your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.